The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 14 in our Revelation series. This message is called Your Part in the Great Tribulation. For this study, we will look at Revelation chapter 10. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Revelation 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was clothed with a cloud, with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Revelation chapter 10, 11, and 12 give us insight to what will be happening with the church during the time of the Great Tribulation. This is the pattern of the book. It runs in chronological order from start to finish, but there are times when we get a view of the throne room, and then we come down to earth and see the battles. There are times when we see the camp of the Lord, and other times when we see the camp of the enemy. This is the beginning of seeing the camp of the Lord after the Great Tribulation has started. We've already seen the throne room. We've seen the power grid of heaven and the armies of heaven. But now the Lord wants to show us exactly what the church is going to be doing. And he starts on a very personal note with John. John, up to this point, has been a spectator. He's seen this as if he's had a dream or a vision. He's been caught up in the Spirit and shown a great revelation. But now the Lord is saying, you think you're just watching a show? Not so, John. You are now being called to participate with me in the activities of the end of the age. I believe that this word is not just for John, but it's for all you who are listening to this message. What is your part in the great tribulation? All of you will have a part to play. Some of you right now might be so fearful of the great tribulation that you just want to get as far removed from it as possible. But the Lord has different plans. He is going to anoint you and bless you. If you die before the great tribulation, you'll be in heaven. And there you'll be part of the great sea of glass. You'll be prophesying and praying up there with my mother and other believers. You'll be there with that great company in heaven who are moving in agreement with God's plans for the end of the age. If you're on the earth, you will not be overlooked, for the Lord wants you to participate as a prayer warrior and one who will prophesy here on the earth. That's what this chapter is primarily about. Let's enter into it. First of all, John sees a powerful angel. And this angel plants his feet on the earth and on the sea. And he roars like a lion. This, I believe, is one of the seraphim angels. Do you remember? They each had the face of an eagle, of an ox, of a man, and of a lion. This is one in lion mode. He is roaring like a lion. And he comes down and he plants his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. This is not incidental. The sea, as we know in the book of Revelation, represents people. And the land represents the environment. It's both people and this planet's environment that are going to suffer or be blessed. They're going to suffer the judgments, the people will, and the land will. It will be burned to a crisp, and its water will be poisoned, and its air will become foul. Earthquakes will shatter the earth. It's amazing that it will be able to hold together. And people will die because of the judgments. On the other hand, those who walk with the Lord will finally participate in the great victory of the King and receive the blessings that come. And at the end of this great tribulation period, all of the planet will be restored, for we will have a new heaven and a new earth, and all of creation, the animals, the trees, everything will come to their prophetic plan. They will come into the fullness that they were created for. They're all waiting for man to get his act together and to line up with God. But when the manifestation of the sons of men comes into play, then all of creation will blossom with the blessings of the Lord. So this angel, this lion seraphim, comes down and he plants one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. And that represents the people and the environment. And then we read, John said that after that, the lion seraphim will set his feet on the land and the sea. And he shouted, and the seven thunders, that is the seven angels who are the generals of Jesus. They're called the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes of the Lord, the seven horns, the seven angels. They're archangels. And they speak in unison. One can only guess what they said and what they were going to bring to the table. John was forbidden to write down their words. We read in Revelation 10:3, it says, "And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down.'" I imagine they were speaking a call to the church, that humankind was to partnership with God, and they were giving details of what the church must do at this time. And I think John wasn't allowed to tell us, because we would go out and try to do it. And without the anointing, and without the power of the Holy Spirit, and without God's timing. Because that's the way we are. If you're a zealous Christian, you get something and you want to run with it with all your heart. And so the Lord says, no, a voice comes from heaven and says, seal up what the seven thunders have spoken so that nobody can know. But when this time period comes and we are actually in the middle of the great tribulation, the seven thunders, the seven archangels together in unison will cry out a command to the people of God, no doubt giving wisdom and insight and information and strategy and army intelligence. And when they do, we will rise up and press forward with great zeal. It'll be evangelistic. It will be prayer. It will be prophecy. It will be all that God calls his people to do. There were others who were forbidden to tell what they saw or heard when they went to heaven. Daniel was told to seal up these things until the end. And Paul said he knew a man who was caught up into the third heaven. And he said he was told things that are forbidden to be repeated. But these things, one day, you will discover, for the Lord will make them known. And then this angel, this seraphim lion, lifts his right hand and he speaks an oath. In Revelation 10, verse 5 and 6, we read that he lifts his hand and he swears by he who is the creator and he who is the king of glory. Now, we are told not to make an oath. The Bible says don't swear or make an oath because you're not able to keep it. Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. But angels can make an oath because they're in the celestial realm. They have the power of Almighty God without restriction. Nothing can stop what they're going to do. So he lifts his right hand and he makes an oath. And what he says is absolutely amazing. He says in Revelation 10, verse 7, there will be no more delay. I like this a lot because right now we're in delay. Right now and for thousands of years, the people of God have been told to be patient, to wait. It's not the time yet. Even some of our prayers don't get answered and we ask the questions, why don't they get answered? When we see difficulties and problems and traumas, we say, why is it like this, O Lord? And there is a timing in the things of the Lord. And right now, there's a delay. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, he took everything that was bad about us upon himself and gave everything that was good about him to us? That's called the great exchange. But we have not yet received it all. There's not a person on the planet who's received everything that the cross afforded you. You've been saved. Maybe you've been healed. Maybe you've had changes in your character. Maybe you've seen miraculous power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it does not yet appear what you shall be. But one day when Jesus splits the eastern sky and comes riding on a white horse, you'll be caught up into the clouds to be with him, and you will be like him at that moment, and everything that the cross promised for you shall come to you in one twinkling of an eye, in a nanosecond, you shall be like Jesus, and the full measure of the cross shall come. But at this point, there's a delay on many of those blessings. At this halfway point of the great tribulation, this angel prophesies, and he says, he swears, he lifts up his right hand, and he says, I make an oath. I swear by God Almighty, there will be no more delay. But, he says, in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. What trump is this? The days of what trump? The days of the seventh trumpet. That's the last trumpet. We know in 2 Corinthians that the Bible talks about this mystery. Here he says there's going to be no delay. But in the days of the last trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished just as it was announced to the prophets. And now in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 to 53, we read exactly what he's talking about. Listen carefully. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. That's what he just said. The mystery of God is going to come. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This is the fulfillment of that. The angel says there'll be no more delay. But this great mystery that the prophets talked about, it's going to come to pass now. And he says, what is that? Well, we read about it. It's the resurrection of the dead. It's the second coming of Jesus. It's the moment where he comes down and we go up. It's the time when all the blessings of the cross will come. That's the mystery of God, the resurrection of the dead. It's a great moment in history at this point when he says there will be no more delay. The resurrection is on the way. It's just around the corner. From this point, we find the second half of the Great Tribulation unfolds. And it is just one thing after another that at breakneck speed rushes us towards the return of Christ. And then we read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, where the Lord, or this angel, says to John, go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. And John responds. He says, so I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, take it and eat it. Now John, he sees this angel, this lion seraphim, with a little scroll and it's open. This scroll is in contrast to another scroll. Do you remember the big scroll that's in the hand of the Lord God Almighty, who sits on the sapphire throne with a green rainbow around him? He's flashing with lights, and in his hand there is a scroll. I mentioned to you earlier in a previous study that in that scroll are the blueprints for the end of the age. In that scroll are all the details of the book of Revelation, which include the destruction of the devil and all of God's blessings coming upon the church and Israel. That's the scroll. And you remember what the angel said? No one is worthy to open the scroll. And then one of the elders says, oh yes, there is one who is worthy. The lion from the tribe of Judah. He is worthy because he was slain, and with his blood he has bought the souls of men and women on the earth. He's worthy to break the seals and open that scroll and release the blueprints for the end of the age, the edicts and designs for eternity, for the destruction of the devil and the blessings of God on the church. And now we see another scroll. This scroll isn't closed. It has no seals on it. It's open in the hand of the angel. Why is it open? It's open because John can look at it and read it, because it is instruction for John personally. This is John's personal scroll. Do you know there is one for you? There is a little scroll that has your name on it, and it's open. It's up to you to find out what your job, what your part will be in the end time purposes of God. He didn't just get a hold of you to save you from your sins. He's called you to be a son and a daughter with him, part of the family. He's called you to participate with him in the victory over the devil. The Bible says later on in the next couple of chapters, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not shrink back or be afraid to die. So now we see that John gets this little scroll. And this scroll is just a tiny part of God's big scroll. If all of you have scrolls, and each scroll describes your job and your responsibility, all of those responsibilities together will make up the task of the big scroll. So the Lord tells this John, this prophet, who's actually seeing the vision, now to step into it and to participate. He went over to the angel and asked him to give him the scroll. And the angel said to John, take it and eat it. Revelation shows John, or shows Jesus, taking the larger scroll from the hand of the Almighty and breaking its seals. But now John must take this scroll and eat it. How is the Lord going to give you your scroll? It may come in dreams. It may come through prophetic words from other people. It may come as you open your Bible and say, Lord, teach me. And the Lord causes the words to pop off the page and you get divine instruction. There are many ways that God can get your attention. You can look up into the heavens and see a cloud formation and God can speak to you. You can be driving down the highway and see a license plate with certain letters on it, and God can speak to you. God can speak to you through a song on the radio. He can speak to you through a little child. He has so many different ways that he can speak to you, but if you have your radar turned on, and if you're in tune with him, and you are saying, here I am, Lord, send me, then sooner or later, the Lord is going to call you up to participate with him in the greatest adventure of all time, the destruction of the devil, and the release of blessings upon the church and upon Israel. Are you ready? So we find the angel then says to John, take it and eat it, and it will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And so John does take it. He takes the word of God, and that's what you have to do. You have to take the word of God that is for you, and you've got to make it your life. You've got to take it, and with everything within you, you've got to live that. You've got to eat it. It's got to become part of you. And the Lord says it will be both sweet and bitter. It will be great and awful at the same time. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, isn't it? It's all about horrible catastrophes and great revivals. It's all about terrible judgments and God's great mercy. As a minister of the gospel, I have known this all of my life, that the word of God and the ministry has both a lion and a lamb in it. A lion to rule and destroy the works of the enemy, and the lamb to show mercy and compassion. And when you walk with the Lord, there will be some painful battles you will face. There will be some dark days. but you will be an overcomer. And there will be such joy and such excitement that is part of this as well. And so it is both sweet and it is also sour. And then the last verse says, then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. The fact that the angel tells him, eat this scroll, basically he's saying, these are your instructions, take them in. Then he says, they're going to be sweet at some point, and they're going to be sour at other points. Then he tells him, now you must prophesy again. That means that John's already been prophesying because he's told to do it again. And he's not given instruction to just give a kind of nice little prophecy. Verily, verily, I say unto you, children of God, love the Lord. You know, those kind of prophecies? No. He says, you must prophesy about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. In other words, this is about world domination. This is about the King of Glory coming to the planet. This is about him being the King of the nations, King of kings, and Lord of lords. This is about the nations of the world becoming the nations of our God and of his Christ. And none of it will happen unless you pray. None of it will happen unless you prophesy. God's calling you into a place of participation with him in the end time purposes of God. He's calling you up into purpose and into the victory of the Lamb. John is just an example. And we see it right here in this chapter. John, the scroll is open for you. There's going to be no more delay. It's time for you to get involved. Now take it and eat it and prophesy with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when you prophesy, the purpose of the Lord will go forward. The whole book of Revelation is a manual on how to prophesy and how to pray, on what to prophesy about and how to and what to pray about. It gives you the vision to know how to walk in step with the Lord for the end season of darkness. I said to you at the beginning of this study that chapters 10, 11, and 12 are about what God's people will be doing in the great tribulation period. Now you have a hint that you yourself are going to be involved. We know what John has to do, and you will have a similar role because the Lord is calling you up into a place of partnership with him. In the next two chapters, we will see more of what the Lord is going to do during the great tribulation with his people, the church, and with his people, Israel.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.